Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check us out on Facebook, my personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life. You can also go to our site, www.the110nationsports.com. Right-hand side, click the pretty little banner, find a location near you, 24/7, 365, get your gym on. Clean facility, courtesy staff, everything you possibly need or want that is Fit for Life. I also got to thank Maxivation Digital Media. Hooked us up with our cool banners and logos. Let him help you expose, get better exposure. I know the founder of Maxivation Digital Media actually is also part of the 110 Nation, or has written, at least has written for the 110 Nation. And when he started writing for us, he also helped us with our social media. And within just a few short weeks, we had gained, I want to say something like either 300 or 500 more likes on our Facebook, and we went from it was 500, so we were just short of 1,000. The goal was to hit 1,000, and the next thing you know, we was coming up on 1,500. Excuse me. So we've had an opportunity firsthand to see what Maxivation Digital Media can do for you. He did that before this all came about, but helped us tremendously and can help do that for your company or whatever you may have going on. So make sure you guys check him out over there at Maxivation Digital Media. I also got to thank Carolina Sports Plus for all your merchandise and needs. To go over to Carolina Sports Plus on Facebook. A lot of great products. I can't even begin to tell you how many things I've gotten from Carolina Sports Plus, and going to be getting much, much more. Make sure you guys check them out. Also, got to thank the I-95 Sports Network and Mile High Radio for rebroadcast or syndicating our shows. Without these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. So I want to make sure that we thank those that help make this happen. Seemed like there was something I want to jump in. We got Izzo joining us at 9:30. So I want to make sure that you guys know that he's going to be joining me now. We got a lot of things in the NHL to get caught up. I'm just passing this, sharing this stuff on. Last night's game, Last night's game. Big topic of conversation from, you know, and with Race Chat Live, if you guys missed it last night, last episode of the season, they will be back come late January, early February to bring you guys a whole other season of Race Chat Live with Craig and Chris. But we had a blast last night. I was on the show with the guys, hung out with them for the entire show. You guys missed that, make sure you guys go back and check that out, last night's show. But so of course Tuesday we got to play catch up for the entire weekend, not just the Monday night game. And so even throwing all the other games in there, other than the New Orleans Saints blowing out the Philadelphia Eagles, and you sit here and watch the Eagles this year, and all you can sit there and think to yourself is, how did this team ever win the Super Bowl? Like, what actually happened? Did New England really fall apart that bad? Did Minnesota, I mean, how did this happen? Were all the stars in line and a blue moon? And, I mean, did I miss all these signs to what caused the Philadelphia Eagles to have the Super Bowl last year and do it in the fashion that they did? But outside of that game, the topic of conversation and probably what we'll take away from this weekend was the Los Angeles Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs game. And I've seen memes talking about the NFL's cancel the rest of the season. We're going to watch the best of five for the next 5 weeks out of the Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs. It provided an exciting game when we had two teams that played the same style of football. So watching the Rams and watching the Kansas City Chiefs go back and forth, okay, I can see it being an exciting game. My work schedule being what it is and me being up at 3:30 in the morning every morning, and then even the rest of the days that I don't open, I still got to be up sometime between 4 and 6 in the morning to go to the gym and then get to work on time and everything else. From 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, sometimes they're a struggle. I caught bits and pieces of the game. And, of course, with my football picks, I was in the running for the football pool this week. I needed the Rams to win, which they did, and I needed 67 points, which they almost had at halftime. I don't think many of us were expecting that high of a score. I fell in between one person that had, 65. Someone that had 65 and someone that had 69. Because if they would have scored 67 points, I would have won it straight out. If I would have went one in either direction, 68 or 66, I would have split with somebody. Anything below, someone else won. Anything above, won either the 69 or whoever had higher won. So I was in contention. I had a good week in the picks. I'm a firm believer. And first of all, that offenses win games, but defenses win championships. And so what I witnessed last night and the highlights that I went back and caught, to me, ultimately was two teams that are entertaining to watch. But I don't see how they could be considered two teams that are going to win the Super Bowl when there was no defense involved. When you allow, and this is another thing that blows my mind. Earlier in the year, we watched the Cleveland Browns and the Oakland Raiders play to a, 40-something to 47 game, almost 50 each. And the only thing that was talked about is how horrible these two defenses were, that there was no defense, and how sorry these teams were. Why is the same thing not said about these two teams? I'm not going to say that how sorry they were, but why is not part of this topic of conversation how sorry these defenses are? Either side of the ball you look at it, both teams ran up 50 points. And I know some of the scores came off of turnovers, so it was not necessarily all on the defense. But you're still looking at upper 20, 30 points that this defense, both these defenses at a minimum, gave up. Like, I'm not understanding why, and I'm still watching this in golf, 413 yards, 5 total touchdowns. A 1,001 yards. 14 touchdowns. I know the Saints defense is not much better. Like, Saints, as far back as I can remember, as far back as Drew, as long as Drew Brees has been there. The New Orleans Saints has always been, for me, a team that is not going to stop you. That's not how they're going to beat you. Their game plan is to outscore you. Like, most of the games that I can recall in my memory without just pulling up scores over the last how many years Drew Brees has been there, most of those games have all been high-scoring games. It wasn't about a defense stopping anybody. It wasn't about a low-scoring affair or anything else. It was about Drew Brees and this high-powered offense throughout the years and different pieces that have been there, them just outscoring your opponent, putting up 400 or 500 passing yards, not counting the run game, and see how many points you can put up on the board. It just so happened Drew Brees has become a very accurate quarterback in the whole process, and you're watching him complete 75% to 80% of his passes. And so, I don't know, it makes it – I'm a numbers guy. Like, I absolutely, positively love numbers. And, yes, part of what attracts me to wanting to catch the New Orleans Saints and watching this whole process is to see how accurate, and not only how accurate, how proficient those wide receivers are. Because regardless how accurate Drew Brees is, the receiver still got to catch the ball. And we've seen drop passes, and we've seen passes that should have been caught. I feel that it's hard to, right now, to picture any team beating the New Orleans Saints. Like, I think out of these three teams, the Saints defense, when it comes to these big matchup games, I think the Saints defense rises to the occasion better than the other two. And I know the first thing out of people's mouths is this Rams defense with Donald and Sue and Flowers. And okay, they allowed the Saints to run them up. They scored, what, 40, 50 points. They allowed Kansas City to score 50 points. Yes, maybe against lesser opponents, that defense does a good job of shutting things down. But on the offense, on the teams that matter, and the offenses that are just as explosive as their offense, they've not done very well against. As much as I believe it's hard to picture any team beating the Saints, though, I would not be surprised if none of these three win it. Like, I feel that there is going to be a team, and there needs to be a team. Like, this is, if I'm one of the teams, if I'm one of the teams that is going to be making the playoffs, if I'm the Steelers or I'm the Patriots, like, that is my focus the rest of this year, is making my defense be the best defense that it can be. Because defensively, you can shut down any of these three teams. Their defenses ain't stopping you. All they're worried about is their offense outscoring them. I said, as much as I like to believe the Saints, dealer defense, that Seattle defense, if they can find a way to get into a wild card spot, the Chicago defense is starting to rally its troops. Bears are looking, oddly enough, we thought the season would go lower. And then you almost felt bad for Khalil Mack at first. Like, I stuck playing for the Bears. Like, poor guy. I'll support him more. I don't know. There's a few defenses out there that, you got a couple weeks to plan for whoever's remaining standing, whoever makes it to the Super Bowl against them. As long as their opponent has one of the top defenses, all you got to do is game plan the right offense. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think too many people are all in. I'm trying hard not to be all in on the Saints because you're about to add Brandon Marshall on. I'm not saying I'm a big Brandon Marshall fan, but this offense is very explosive already. You add a big target to it. Could be. But I try not to get all in on it. I try not to. Because I honestly believe you get a team that's got a tough defense. Thousand and 1 yards. I don't know. It just blows my mind. At no point does anybody care about the defense. Like, that is in the conversation all day long. And anyway, I'm supposed to have a special guest joining me in the studio tomorrow night. We'll know by mid-afternoon to late evening. And when I say studio, like, I mean like all the way completely in the studio, not just calling in. And someone that's been wanting to come and talk sports comes up and hangs out in my store and talks sports all day long. And is supposed to meet up with me tomorrow, and we'll make our way over here and get the studio set up and have somebody in the studio tomorrow. So looking forward to the possibility of that. Got Izzo right around the corner. As I get ready to throw him in here, and we're going to get caught up on everything going on in the NHL and what to look for in this upcoming week and matchups that we need to focus on. So without any further delay, let's go ahead and get him in the studio and get this all wound up and started. Izzo, how you doing tonight?
Hey, we're doing pretty good. You know, as a hockey fan in general, we're doing pretty good. But me as a Pens fan right now, it's been kind of a Debbie Downer dumpster fire couple of weeks for my Penguins right now, which has got me in a rut. But, you know, it's a great day for hockey, as it is every day. And we only have one game on store for tonight, which is later tonight, which will be on NBCSN. We have the Edmonton Oilers taking on the San Jose Sharks. And we got big news coming out of Edmonton, which is one of our topics for tonight. So without any further ado, Jay, we can jump right into it.
Go ahead. Traded. That's where we're going at. With the Edmonton Oilers. Is my tongue is all tied up tonight. Who benefited out of this trade, and what exactly perspired this trade to happen, and these players, who did it benefit career-wise as well?
Well, we did have a pretty good trade. Ryan Strome was traded to the New York Rangers by the Edmonton Oilers for Ryan Spooner. Strome, who is a 25-year-old forward, who's only got 2 points in 18 games so far this season. You know, so he's been kind of struggling, you know, thus far, you know, early this season. You know, whether that's the system that he's playing in, or you know, the just, you know, not really getting a lot of good chances. Spooner, on the other hand, you know, he's 26-year-old. He's only got 2 points in 16 games with the Rangers. So, you know, this is kind of like an even trade for both ends of the party. You know, Strome, who's kind of a speedy guy, is going to be really – I think he's going to really fit well with the Rangers, who are retooling their roster, you know, trying to get more speed and more youth, you know, mixed into their lineup right now. And for the Oilers – you know, Spooner is going to be a pretty good, you know, I think he's going to have a solid bottom six role for the Oilers, you know, right now, who also fired Todd McClellan, you know, earlier, I think earlier today, if I read that correctly. So, you know, a lot of changes just on the Edmonton side. So we're going to see what's going to happen with that, and with Todd McClellan being out as bench boss. They brought in Ken Hitchcock, you know, who we all remember was last coached with the Stars and the Blues, and you know, he's been around for quite some time. So he's going to inherit a pretty good team. I am expecting to see you know, some big changes in the systematic play of what the Oilers are going to do. Right now, the Rangers, you know, have been struggling, you know, here and there, haven't really been playing too solid right now. You know, if you look into the standings right now, they've actually kind of vaulted up in the last couple games. They've been one of the hotter teams right now in the Metro Division. You know, you got Columbus sitting up on top right now, followed by the Rangers, followed by Washington. You know, and it's been a crazy Metro Division. You know, so far with how the Rangers and how your Columbus Blue Jackets are playing, but if you look at the other picture for Edmonton right now, they're sitting in sixth place in that Pacific Division. They're 3-7 their last 10 games. Their goal differential is down. They're not playing very well at home. They're not playing well on the road, and a lot of things have to step up. It can't just be Connor McDavid the whole entire time for the Oilers. So. You know, we're going to see what's going to happen tonight. Ken Hitchcock's going to make his debut. This game's going to be on, at, like I said, 10:30 Eastern time on NBCSN. So we've got some late night hockey action for all our night owls out there. But, you know, this was kind of an even trade. You know, I think the Rangers are really trying to bolster their speed aspect of their game. And with the Oilers, they're just trying to fill in some bottom six roles and maybe, you know, trying to get produce some secondhand scoring, which they could desperately use right now, Jay.
Yeah, Thanksgiving coming up this week, and the NFL seems to try to put themselves a nice set of games for us to be entertained, and every sport kind of got something going on when we get to this time of year to showcase some great games. What does the NHL have planned? What showdowns, what matchups do we have for this Thanksgiving to help bring everybody together around the turkey and get some good puck action?
Well, there are no games. Usually the NHL, they've never really played games on Thanksgiving Day. Usually they have a Thanksgiving special on Friday for Black Friday. And the matchup that we're going to have this year is going to be the Rangers taking on Philly in Philadelphia at noon Eastern time on NBC. Not NBCSN, but on NBC. So that's going to be our Thanksgiving showdown that we get this year. And there's also a slew of games that are going to be on Friday as well, you know, ranging from noon going on to later in the evening. But, you know, like I said, Rangers and Flyers are going to be on NBC. We got the Canadiens and the Sabres who are also going to play at 3 o'clock. Also at 3 o'clock Eastern time, we got the Islanders taking on the Devils. We got Detroit going into Washington. Winnipeg going into Minnesota to take on the Wild. The Oilers are going to be in Anaheim taking on the Ducks. At 5 o'clock, we got the Flames taking on the Golden Knights. Jay, your Blue Jackets are going to be hosting the Maple Leafs with the possible return of Austin Matthews to the lineup at 6 p.m. Eastern. At 6:30, we got the Panthers taking on our Carolina Hurricanes. You also got the Predators and Blues going at it at 7 o'clock. One of the big matchups also going on that day is going to be the Penguins and the Bruins in Boston at 6:30. Blackhawks are going to be in Tampa Bay also at 6:30. And then we have a couple later games. Senators are going to take on Dallas in Dallas, and Avalanche are going to be in the desert taking on the Coyotes. And then at 8 o'clock for our late game, we're going to have the Vancouver Canucks taking on the San Jose Sharks. So that's going to be our Thanksgiving Black Friday matchups that we're going to have for our Thanksgiving hockey celebration. So I kind of like how the NHL doesn't really play games on Thanksgiving Day. I know I'm a hockey fan, but Turkey Day is always reserved for football, and you know that's been the long-lasting tradition for God knows how long, and hopefully it continues that way. But you know, I think the NHL does a really good job of respecting the holiday, not playing games, but really loading it up on Wednesday and Friday, you know, the day before and the day after. Because if you look at Wednesday's matchup, we got a lot of matchups. We got a pretty good slew of games going on Wednesday too. You got the Stars traveling to Pittsburgh to take on the Pens. The struggling Blackhawks going into Washington to take on the Capitals. Mike, your Islanders are going to be taking on the Rangers in Madison Square Garden. The Montreal is going to be in New Jersey taking on the Devils. Our Carolina Hurricanes are going to host the Toronto Maple Leafs. We got the Flyers and the Sabres doing battle in Buffalo. And how good Buffalo has been so far, Jay. Oh, my God, they've just been tearing it up. One of the hottest teams. And actually came back from a three-goal deficit against my Penguins last night and won it in overtime. Jack Eichel and company have just been really tearing it up in Buffalo. But you also got the Boston Bruins taking on the Red Wings in an original six matchup in Detroit. We also got the Panthers and the Lightning going at it in Tampa in the Battle of Florida. We got the Blues and the Predators in a Central Division matchup. We got Ottawa going to Minnesota to take on the Wild. And the Golden Knights are going to be out in the desert still to take on the Coyotes. Winnipeg and Calgary going to do battle. We also got Canucks at the Ducks, Avalanche at the Kings. And that's what we got on tap for just Wednesday. And then, like I said, no hockey on Thursday and Friday, where our Black Friday Thanksgiving celebration is going to be coming down. But that Rangers-Flyers game is going to be something to watch. These two teams definitely don't like each other. It's going to be in Philly, so we know that Philly crowd is going to be pretty wild and rampant. Hopefully they got some turkey hangover to deal with, so maybe it won't be too bad for some of those Rangers fans and that may be in attendance at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. But, you know, it's always a great tradition. You know, Turkey Day, you watch all the football you can, and then the next day I usually eat leftovers and kind of tune in to watch the Thanksgiving Day game, which will be, you know, Rangers and Flyers. So that's what I'm looking forward to this weekend, Jay.
And I was going to go get into the three stars of the week, but before we jump into that, Buffalo, with the run that they're having and the start that they've had, what's contributed to that? What has made Buffalo play at the level that they're playing, and what are some of the key reasons that they're getting the results that they're getting?
I think they finally addressed that starting goaltender issue, Jay. I mean, last year was kind of an up and down. Robin Leonard, who is, you know, a good goaltender, but I think the signing and acquisition of Carter Hutton has just been just amazing. If you look at what Buffalo has done, you know, their last 10, they're 7-2-1. You know, they came off a victory yesterday in overtime beating Pittsburgh. You know, and their goal differential is, you know, a plus +5. Their power play has been somewhat very, very effective with the acquisitions of Connor Sheary, you know, and a couple other key guys. I think, you know, this team has been skating with the best offensive teams so far. They've beaten quite a few, you know, quite a few good teams in the last week or so. But I really do believe that goaltending is something that you know, that they're just really improved on. You know, they're on a 6-game winning streak right now, possibly one of the hottest teams in the league right now. And I do believe that, you know, they've made a statement, you know, so far. Mm-hmm. You know, just in that 1-year turnaround. You know, Phil Housley really got his finger on the pulse of that team right now, and they're just clicking on all cylinders. And the defense is playing great. The goaltender's making really, really good saves. I've had a chance to watch a couple of their games. I do believe that Carter Hutton deserves most of the credit because he's been making some amazing saves. He's really seeing that puck right now. It's like the size of a beach ball right now. And, you know, he's just snagging it, you know, kicking pad saves left and right. And he's just having a good old time, and I think everybody in Buffalo has just really gotten behind him so far during this win streak so far in the first quarter of the season, Jake.
The NHL releases three stars of the week. Who were they, Izzo, and why were they the stars of the week?
Well, this is, you know, this is something that we all kind of, this is something I really enjoy quite a bit. And I know you kind of maybe had had some fun with this one with, you know, Cam Atkinson being the first star of the week. So this is, you know, he's done pretty good. But our three stars for the last week, you know, Cam Atkinson, Atkinson, Corey Crawford, and Joe Pavelski. These three guys really played pretty well. But Atkinson, you know, he had he's been scoring goals, five goals, you know, plus minus six in three games. You know, he helped. You know, they had a perfect week, and they just extended their lead in the Metro Division right now. So. You know, he's helped the Blue Jackets so far. They're 12-6-2, and he's just been putting the puck behind the net, you know, registering points and assists left and right, and really getting that team clicking on all cylinders. Corey Crawford went 2-0-1 with a 98 save percentage and one shutout to help the Blackhawks kind of kill their losing streak. But man, the Blackhawks have just been absolutely horrendous this year. You know, they were on a very, very bad skid there for a while. But Corey Crawford really coming back into his own, being the Vezina caliber goaltender that he is, you know, Stanley Cup winner. You know, he's got his 24th shutout last week when they shut out the Blues. And he turned aside 31 to 32 shots in a shootout loss to L.A., you know, and he closed the week with 39 saves and a 3-1 win over the Wild. You know, and he's been kind of coming back, and you know, that vertigo that's got to be really tough to really come back from. So, you know, if he keeps playing like this, you might see him as comeback player of the year. So, congratulations to him. And Joe Pavelski collected multiple points in all three of his games last week, sharing the lead with five goals. With Cam Atkinson, you know, placing third overall with 6 points, he got the Sharks to an 11-7 and 3 record right now, and they're, you know, currently sitting. I think they're sitting in first place in the Pacific Division, if I remember correctly, or they just might have got leapfrogged not too long. Yeah, I think they did get. Yeah, they got leapfrogged by Calgary the other night. But you know, Pavelski is the captain. And he's a very dangerous player. You always got to watch him. He's very good at deflecting shots in front of the net, you know, redirecting the puck and redirecting the angle of the shot of the puck when it comes in on net, which really makes it difficult for goaltenders to readjust when that puck is in mid-shot, you know, on the way to the net. But, you know, he is 34 years old, excuse me, but he's playing like he's 24 right now. You know, if he keeps scoring multiple points in consecutive games, he's really going to help launch, you know, San Jose, you know, atop that Pacific Division. You know, so far it's a tight race right now. You know, Calgary and San Jose are tied with 25 points apiece, but Calgary's got the tiebreaker right now. And then Vancouver's sitting 3 points behind San Jose, and Anaheim's 4 points behind San Jose. So it's proven to be a tight race right now in that Pacific Division. But those were the three stars of the week. And, man, these three, I'd say two of these teams, I wouldn't say Chicago right now because they're down in the dumps right now. They're sitting in sixth in that Central Division. But, you know, Columbus and San Jose are really proving to be some playoff contenders and some scary teams right now. You know, Columbus has been atop this Metro Division for quite some time now, and they've been rocking and rolling left and right, and so is San Jose, Jay.
From your experience, the rings you've been to, and just I know being a fan of the NFL, I picture what it's got to be like to be at each of the stadiums that I've watched games from, and kind of figure out which ones I feel would have to be the toughest for offense to be able to call plays and change plays and audibles at the line and everything else. And so I can imagine being the fanatic you are, you kind of do the same. If you was to guess from your experience of what you've seen, which would be the toughest rink to play at, what would your answer be?
Oh, man. You know, I've been to a couple rinks, a couple arenas, you know, to watch some games. But, you know, when you really think about tough places to play and you think about when you think about a place that you just kind of really dread to go, you know, if you think about it, you know, Nashville's might one of them teams that might be up there. Pittsburgh might be one of those teams that'll be up there. You know, so it's kind of hard to say. But when I really think about it, you know, to mine, I would say Montreal, maybe Toronto, would probably be some of the hardest places to play, given their history and how long they've been in the league. You know, Montreal, that Bell Center. I tell you what, that would probably be one of the places I would not look forward to playing. You know, and then when you really think about it, you know, Madison Square Garden, just the way it's set up and how many people they can get into there. I mean, even just watching the Knicks games when the Knicks are actually good. I remember the old Knicks teams with Patrick Ewing and company back in the day. That arena got pretty loud. But, you know, another one that I really think that really kind of stands out is American Airlines Center in Dallas. I've got a chance to, you know, living in Houston, I get a chance to watch the Dallas Stars game quite a bit. And listening to that crowd, man, I never thought that arena would get really, really loud. But, you know, when you think about really, really good places to watch hockey and where crowds get loud, you know, the Bell Center, like I said, in Montreal, maybe the United Center in Chicago, you know, that, I would say the old Joe Louis Arena was probably one of the tougher places to play. For teams coming into Detroit to play against the Red Wings. You know, and even right now, you know, PPG Paints Arena for Pittsburgh, you know, the way that's set up, it gets pretty loud too, you know. So when you it's kind of funny when you kind of draw comparisons, because when you think about toughest places to play, you know, sports-wise, you know, I think Seattle, where the Seahawks play, has definitely got to be one of the more intimidating ones, or given the Big Three and the Big Ten. Yeah, the dog pound, too. And, I mean, the Big Three and the Big Ten, where you whether it's Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State, you know, those three places, they pack over 105,000. So, you know, you can only imagine how loud it gets. But, you know, when you look at a hockey arena, you're only getting maybe anywhere from 17,000 to 35,000, maybe 40,000 people. And, you know, it is an enclosed building, which kind of helps out a little bit. But, you know, it was kind of fun to read that and read some of the stories from some certain guys and their opinions and everything. So, you know, he it's always fun to see how what players, you know, pick and what they have to say about certain places where they play at. And, you know, like I said, if it were up to me, Jay, I would definitely want to stay away from the Bell Center in Montreal where the Canadiens play, because that place is just – when the Canadiens are on and they're winning, man, it just gets deafeningly loud in that place.
Now, the NHL.com had a players poll, and you know, they polled on the toughest rinks. Were you surprised by any of the answers? Any of them stick out? And what do these players feel that's the toughest rinks, the actual players themselves?
You know, when I was looking at it, when I saw T-Mobile Arena for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, I was really kind of surprised by that, because they've only been in the league 1 year. You know, this is only their second season. You know, so that was kind of one of them that really kind of, you know, stood out. But, you know, the one that got picked the most was Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. You know, and I lived in Nashville for a while, and, I never was inside Nashville or Bridgestone for a game, but I've been around Bridgestone when they had games going on, and you can hear the crowd outside, you know, a couple blocks away. So it gets definitely really, really loud. I mean, I was probably a good 2-3 blocks away, and you can hear the fans from inside, you know. When you look at that, you know, that takes a lot of noise, you know, to travel through the or reverberate through the walls and everything. So, you know, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews of the Blackhawks definitely picked Bridgestone Arena. Gabriel Landeskog, who's the Colorado Avalanche captain, picked Winnipeg. And Winnipeg is actually one of the smaller arenas. I do believe they only seat about 17,000, 16,000 people. But, you know, apparently it gets pretty loud in there. A couple of different players said that Pittsburgh and Washington are definitely up there amongst, teams. That are places that are hard to play. But I was really shocked that, you know, Washington didn't get really too many votes when it came to this poll, because I've watched plenty of Penguins-Washington Capitals games, and whenever they play in Washington, man, it gets definitely extremely loud. Like, I can't imagine what the decibel reading would be in a game, but you know, even when they meet in the playoffs, just between PPG and Washington's arena, it can get pretty loud, and even through the TV, you can tell it gets pretty loud, you know. So, it's always a good thing, but you know, my choice would probably have to be, like I said, the Bell Center for me. But you know, it seems like the Bridgestone Arena is the one that's going to be, or is the one that was voted one of the hardest places to play in today's NHL, Jay.
The NHL is got several teams that will be in alternate jerseys this year. Those are always interesting. It's always interesting to see throwbacks and different things. The Steelers obviously stick out with their Bumblebee look. Packers, another one that sticks out with their look. With the NHL, are you a fan of the alternate jerseys, and do any of them stick out to you, any of them that you've seen in the past or are hoping that you've seen from the past that will be something that's thrown in there for this season?
Yeah, you know, I always like the retro jerseys. You know, me and Mike have always, you know, talked about this. You know, the one I really like the most, I think, is the our Carolina Hurricanes. I really like the logo that they got. It's a hockey stick with a weather-torn flag, like a hurricane's blowing in. And it's all black and red, and I think it's got some gray in it, too. That just might be my color blindness kicking in. I'm not entirely too sure, but that's definitely one of my favorites. You know, I really liked what Philadelphia wore last year with their Keystone orange black jerseys, and I was kind of hoping that Carolina would probably try and do some sort of retro Hartford Whalers jersey, because that's where they, you know, that's where they relocated from. You know, I was always a big fan of the Hartford Whalers jerseys, especially when Adam Sandler wore them in the movies. You know, that was always one of the favorite ones. But you know, I kind of like the old Flaming C from the Calgary Flames. That was one of my favorite ones from the Lanny McDonald Stanley Cup days in the late 80s. That was another one of my favorites. I think the Winnipeg Jets got a pretty cool one with some cursive writing. And I definitely kind of miss the old school Devils jerseys with the green and the red. I always thought that was pretty cool to see. I'm hoping that they maybe wear that one a few times here and there. And one that I'm really kind of looking forward to is the Arizona Coyotes. I really liked their jersey when they first came in as the Phoenix Coyotes. I actually have one of their jerseys. It's one of their away jerseys. It's all black, and it's got the Coyote with his hockey gear on with the stick, and that was always one of my favorite jerseys growing up when they came in, when they broke in the 90s and everything. So, you know, I'm always a big fan of retro jerseys, you know, in any sport, really. I do kind of like the Steelers bumblebee look. My high school, we were nicknamed the Steelers. We kind of copied them sometimes with some of their jersey styles and stuff. But, you know, I think hockey jerseys are the coolest. I think one of my favorite jerseys of all time has to be the Nashville Predators jersey when they first broke in. I mean, it was so sleek, that gold and silver and, you know, and everything in between, and that blue, man, it just popped. And that Predator logo on the front, that was one of the more coveted jerseys when they first broke in the league. And, it's just, you can never go wrong with a retro jersey in hockey whatsoever. I mean, sometimes I do believe that the NFL, you know, some of the NFL retro jerseys are just kind of atrocious, and everything. I even watching the Syracuse Notre Dame football game at Yankee Stadium, I couldn't stand what Notre Dame was wearing. That was just so atrocious, Jay. It's so atrocious. I mean, the pinstripe pants and the blue jerseys and even the helmets just looked bad. I mean, it was just horrible. But those are the jerseys like I said, the Anaheim Ducks, the Calgary Flames, and the definitely the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes one is probably my favorite third jersey, retro jersey, whatever you want to call it. That's going to be worn this season.
Did we miss anything that with the last few minutes that we didn't hit, Izzo? And if not, I know we talked about Wednesday and Friday matchups. Was there any other matchups later in the week that you didn't throw out there because you were focused on Wednesday and Friday, or was that all the big matchups we need to look for this week?
Well, yeah, that's primarily most of the good matchups that we're going to have.
Gotcha.
Throughout the week. Saturday, there's also going to be a pretty good slew of games. Jay, your Blue Jackets are going to come into Pittsburgh to take on my struggling Penguins, which will be a good matchup. We also got Capitals and Rangers. That one's going to be on the NHL Network at 1 o'clock Eastern. So that's going to be a good game for people to watch if there's no good college football. Well, we got a big college football. It's Ohio State, Michigan week. So, that's going to take priority for a lot of people. But we got the Flyers and the Maple Leafs are going to do battle in Toronto. We also got a pretty big matchup at 6 p.m. Eastern. You got the Boston Bruins going up into that Bell Center, like I'm talking about, taking on the Canadiens. So that's an old school rivalry. That's, you know, another hatred rivalry where guys just don't like each other. That's going to be a pretty physical battle. Mike, our Carolina Hurricanes are going to be going into Long Island to take on your Islanders, who have been pretty hot so far. And that's what those are the highlighted games I got for Saturday. Not two. There's only four games on for Sunday. Flames and Coyotes. Devils are going to be taking on Tampa and Tampa. We got the Ducks and Preds in Nashville. And then we got the Oilers and Kings as the late game on Sunday. But one other big note that we had, you know, Mike Yeo, coach of the St. Louis Blues, was fired on Monday. And was replaced by Craig Berube on an interim basis. But general manager Doug Armstrong said Tuesday that he could hire another coach before the end of the season. And I think that's kind of leading up to maybe Joel Quenneville coming in to take over the Blues, which would be really, really huge because not only was Quenneville, I think he coached the Blues at one point in time before, if I remember correctly, but, you know, he was in that Central Division taking on coaching the Blackhawks. So, you know, what would that be like if, you know, he got hired by the Blues in that same Central Division to try and help them and bolster their roster? You know, there was an article earlier today that the Blues players took full responsibility, for the firing of Mike Yeo. It's kind of hard right now when you got guys like Alex Pietrangelo, Ryan O'Reilly, Tyler Bozak, David Perron, you know, Vladimir Tarasenko. It's going to be it's going to be kind of a tough run for St. Louis. They got to get things turned around, or it's going to be a long haul, a long season for them not making the playoffs. You know, they're at the bottom right now of that Central Division with only 17 points. So if I look at the wild card standings, you know, they're way, way, way out of it right now. You know, they're at 17. Yeah, there's 7 points, you know, back behind Dallas, who's currently holding that second wild card spot right now. So they got a lot of work to do. You know, they're 5-5. Their last 10 games, they're on a 2-game losing streak right now. They suck at home. They suck on the road. So hopefully they can get things turned around. But I think Quenneville could be the next coach in St. Louis. So, and who knows how long that's going to take. Who knows how long it's going to take for Mr. Armstrong, the general manager of the Blues, to find a replacement. I really don't see Craig Berube being the long-term solution for the Blues. I think they want to probably go for somebody that's got a lot of experience and a lot of playoff experience. And that's something that St. Louis desperately needs. But, you know, other than that, we got Friday, our Thanksgiving Day game, like I said, between the Rangers and Philly in Philly. That game's going to be on NBC. So once you get done getting your turkey and football fill, you know, kind of wake up from that turkey hangover and turn on NBC on Friday and catch the Flyers and the Rangers do battle, Jay.
I'm definitely looking forward to this weekend myself, as I'll be heading to the great state of Ohio Friday. So I will be trying to find a Ohio State Michigan party to crash. And then Sunday, my mom got my son and I Cincinnati Cleveland Browns tickets. They play in Cincinnati. We're Browns fans versus the family Cincinnati. That's our Christmas present. So we're going to be going to that game Sunday. So a lot of great action this weekend, and looking forward to it all. I'm looking forward to being sit back here next Tuesday night, talking to you, catching up, and getting us ready for the upcoming week. Enjoy the rest of your week, Izzo, and I'll be talking to you a little bit later.
Hey, it's always fun, and everybody have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you guys next Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Tomorrow night, like I said, I'm supposed to have the special guest in the studio. We'll get the details this tomorrow afternoon, and of course we'll put that in the show description when we share it tomorrow. But I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, the I-95 Sports Network, Mile High Radio, Maxivation Digital Media, and Carolina Sports Plus. Without these great marketing partners and or networks, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow, so I want to thank them. Check us out on Twitter at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, 110 Nation Sports. Check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com. For all the latest, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, the 110 Nation Sports Show. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.